Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. You can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, Pocket Cast. And do not miss the featured post this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows, featured on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. A Deliverer Comes, Age of Delusion. Featured on danaglennsmith.com, American Choice, Blessing or Cursing. Featured on warn-usa.com, Prophetic End Time Shaking and Division. Discern Signs Amidst the Times. The Apocalypse Waits for No One. And Your Salvation Comes. And do not miss these WIBR Warn Radio weekly shows on Advocacy from March 13th, Word of Your Testimony, Christian Orphans, Finding Jesus, Persecuted Preacher, Advocacy, Gospel News. On Battle Lines from March 14th, The Wine Press, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 209 on Battle Lines. And Sound the Shofar from March 15th, The Word of the Lord Over All the Nations, Part 10. And be sure to get your copy of The Rising. It's a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman, Dana G. Smith, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amidst the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Hidden within the storyline of The Rising is the truth of what's happening in America right now. Check out The Rising. When he who opposes rises, believers overcome by faith. And you can get your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart, Angus & Robertson, and The Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. And visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop, where we feature The Rising and other Christian books, as well as resources from our Vision Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Great. It's good to be here on this Thursday night for Battle Lines.
Yep. In March. You know, March, what does it do? Come in like a lion and goes out like a lamb.
Yeah. But it didn't. It came in like a lamb. And that means it'll go out like a lion.
Well, you know, we've had those kind of winters when, you know,
or spring.
It gets towards summer, you know, a little more in this heavy spring. And we've had snow and other kinds of weather. I mean, we've been there, and we've gotten a lot of heavy snow right in the spring when things are growing.
Yes, we have. Trees have been killed, died because of the weather. So today is the 21st day of March, 2024.
Yeah.
Incredible. It's another good day. Thank you, Lord.
You know, that's at the end of this month. That'll be the first quarter completely gone.
Yes, it will. 10 days.
And it seemed like we were just in Christmas getting ready for, you know,
the new year.
2024.
Yes.
And so we're in Isaiah part 210. Wow.
Yes. Okay. Redeemed salvation brings us to part 210 on battle lines in our Isaiah study. Today, the treading of the winepress alone and the fury of the Lord is today followed by the year of my redeemed. As we near the end of Isaiah, we find more and more aspects of God's revelation to Isaiah and the true future and redemption of the people of the Lord. Here, where both Jew and Gentile shall be brought into the kingdom, here the nations of them that are saved shall rejoice alongside Israel's Judah and the northern tribes. Thus the judgment and the year of my redeem shall find God's merciful completion. And now back to you. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, indeed, we're here. Isaiah 63. You know, and I think whenever we think, especially when we're looking here in Isaiah, we have the day of vengeance and the day of the redeem. They're the same day. And this theme is kind of unique, because when Isaiah speaks of the destruction of Babylon, you know, the judgment of Babylon appeared at the same time and the same day that the deliverance of Israel did. And here we see the day of vengeance and the year of his redeemed has come all in the at the same time, right here at this. And so if you look ahead, there's going to be a time of judgment. But there's also, about the same time, there's going to come the eternal reward for the redeemed. There's going to be the day of vengeance and judgment and the great white throne judgment, and there's going to be his redeemed. And you can't have one without the other. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, saith the Lord, and the year of my redeemed is come. He can't wait any longer. This is it. All your blasphemy, all your lies, all the corruption, all the murder, the blood guilt, and every evil under the sun. That's it. No more grace. It's done. And the year of my redeemed, these are the ones that put up with all the corruption, the evil, and the garbage going on by the wicked. So there's going to be, and the Bible is quite clear that you're going to watch and see the reward of the wicked. Make no mistake, there's going to be a reward of the wicked, and there's going to be the day and, you know, the eternal reward for the righteous, the redeemed. That's why you want to make sure you're on the right side. If you don't know Yahshua, Jesus, you need to come to him. You need to repent of your sins. And if you don't think you should repent, go on over to Romans, you know, the book of Romans, and read chapters 3 through 7. you know, that's approximately, just read them. Well, it'd do you good to read, you know, the whole book of Romans. But, you know, people, well, you know, just tell me what I need to do. Just give me the details. I don't want a lot of extra stuff. Okay, you need to get saved. You know, repent of the wickedness and the sins you were doing. Receive Yahshua into your heart while at the same time saying, I'm going to follow you, and then follow him. Be in the light as he is in the light. Now, see, this is where John comes in. And the Lord went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name, who are born not by the will of man, but by the Spirit of God. In John chapter 3, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. 1 John 1, you need to walk in the light as he is in the light. Check out those scriptures and see for yourself. If you believe the Bible, then you're going to do what it says. If you don't believe the Bible and you think we're a bunch of liars, then do what you want to do, and on the day of judgment, we'll be watching. And we'll see when you come up there and you stand before God and you regret everything because nobody told you, and then the Lord shows you. You were told. And today you were told. So make no mistake about it. You may be able to lie and scheme down here. You may be able to make lots of money while you're messing around and causing trouble and wickedness. But one day, God's vengeance is going to fall upon the wicked. And if you haven't repented of your evil and wicked ways and the things that you have done, you're going to be right smack in the dab of his vengeance. And it'll be c'est la vie, good riddance. Have fun, have a nice life. But unfortunately, you won't have one. So I'm urging you to repent. And no, you don't have to believe me. Go follow what you want to follow. I chose for myself. So did Tower. So did myriads, millions, and millions, and millions. Multitudes have chosen for themselves. So at any rate, let's move on. Now, when we're talking about judgment, we're reading Revelation 14. Verse 19. The wine press and judgment on the earth and the nations. Now see, Isaiah 63:4, we're dealing with the day of vengeance and the year of his redeem. Now remember, God doesn't have to wait until the final, you know, curtain falls in order to judge a nation. He judged Nineveh. They repented. And he forgave them. But 70 years later, they had forgotten. Nahum writes about this. And God judged them. Because they didn't stay repented. God has a memory. Amazing. Babylon was judged. Sodom and Gomorrah. All the nations, you know, the Amorites of the iniquity is not yet full, the Lord told Abraham. But when it was full, the children of Israel went in and took the land with God helping them. That was judgment. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now the winepress, you know, in order to get, you know, the wine out of grapes, you have to press them out. Simple. And that's the way it is. It's really not so simple. It really, I mean, if you're one of those grapes, you get pressed into the wine press, there's not going to be much left. This is a picture. Once you put those grapes into the wine press, they're going to be flattened, and all the juice is coming out. It's complete destruction of that original grape. So this is for those of you who need a picture. It's not a pretty sight. But it will be done because you don't listen. Many of you don't listen. Mm-hmm. Especially in America, you don't listen. But then we could go through this and we could list nations. Because we do a show on the advocacy for the persecuted church, and there are Christians getting murdered all over this world, and the governments of men don't do a thing about it, while at the same time, these jihadist Muslims and also the radical Hindus have done this, among others, have killed Christians, slaughtered them, rape and pillage. So yeah, their blood is on your hands. So let's go on. Revelation 14:20, and the wine press was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the wine press even under the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now see, this is during the time of the coming of Yeshua. This is the judgment and on Mystery Babylon. Revelation 19:15, judgment by the Lord. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now you see, there's a lot of people, and I've been around a lot of people for a lot of years. I'm not a young pup. But I can tell you this much. There are people that just look at God and don't think he has an ounce of mercy in him. But God is merciful, and he is just, and he has given the nations of men a long time to repent, and there's still time for you to repent today. You're still under God's grace. And many people cheapen the grace of God because they ignore it, they spit on it, they ridicule it, and then they go about and get themselves filled up with an unclean spirit and start doing things that are going to send them to hell, while at the same time laughing at God. Yeah, one of the stupidest things you can do is mock God. See, the devil mocks God all the time. But I can tell you when the devil went down to tempt Jesus and they were on the mount there, the Lord beat him with the word of God. But the next time those two meet, the devil's going to wind up in the lake of fire. Well, actually, he's going to be thrown into a lone pit for a long, long time, released, and then thrown into the lake of fire. So while he's in that pit that he can't get out, he can sit down there and curse God all he wants, but he ain't getting out. Then God's going to let him out for a while, and then he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, the rest of you all, you ain't going to make it that far. Not unless you repent. And God would rather you repent than die in judgment. I would rather you repent. Matter of fact, I wish you all would repent today. I wish America would repent today. It would make life a lot easier if we weren't a bunch of immoral, unclean, desperate, sinful, ignorant, mocking sinners who hate God, and many times they hate themselves, and they're doing things here I don't even want to tell you. That's in the America that we live in. So he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, I don't know about you. Now, I'm a wordsmith. I write words, I write articles, prose, and psalms. I know how to write. And when I read, he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, I see the word tread, the word fierceness, and the word wrath. But you know, I could tread something, I could be fierce, and I could have wrath. But you know, the thing that delineates it is Almighty God. In Revelation 1, Yahshua, Jesus, is defined as the Almighty. So, go ahead and mock, because the fruits of your mouth will find you, and it will be judged. Revelation 19:16. Now again, I don't want you going to hell, I want you saved. But see, we're in Isaiah, and Isaiah's talking about this. And I'm showing you some other scriptures to make it a little more clear about the judgment of God. Just a wee bit. Because this is America, and we have thought, America's thought, I haven't thought that. I've been warning for decades. I know. I have known for almost all of my adult life that judgment was coming to America. I knew that America as we know it would cease to exist. And there's a reason I knew it. Because that wasn't on my study quiz when I was in school. I knew it. Revelation 19:16, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. That whenever you see that, even the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, that is the righteousness. You'll see the righteousness of the saints, and they're going to be clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And I don't know if you know it, but if you're talking about linen, linen is one of those things that when they create it, it has certain qualities about it that makes it above anything else. And that's why the priests had to dress up in such things. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he'll rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I'm chuckling because I don't, you know, I'd rather be up here at the top, you know, being there watching and on the side of he who is on a white horse, who is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire. Now this is where I want to be. And through Christ, I'm going to be. Not of my own righteousness, but on the righteousness of Christ. I don't want to be down here. He's going to smite the nations. Do you hear that, Russia? Do you hear that, North Korea and Kim Jong-un? Do you hear that, America? Do you hear that, Joe Biden? Do you hear that, corrupt prosecutors in New York? Do you hear that, California? Do you hear that, BLM? Do you hear that, America? Every one of you, there is a judgment coming, and your wickedness and turning America upside down, the judgment is here. And you better pray to God that it's not the final and total judgment, because sometimes God comes in and spanks the nation to get it to repent. As God told Isaiah when Isaiah was given a warning about Judah, he said, tell the righteous it shall be well with him. Tell the wicked it will be ill with him. And that ain't good. Because there's two truths. The wicked are going to die and the righteous are going to be with God. You got a 50% chance of making it to heaven if you make the right decision. If you make the right decision, you'll have a 100% chance of getting to heaven. But you only got a 50% chance of choosing between two answers. If you choose one, the other 50% doesn't matter. And that is, if you choose to be righteous and follow the Lord and seek Him, you don't have to worry about the other 50%. which is going to hell, which is being found in judgment. Now let's go on to 16. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now see, the reason these little extra verses are in here is to amplify and show you what Isaiah is telling them. Isaiah 63:5. And I looked and saw, and I looked. Now you can really see some more stuff with this in the Old Testament. Daniel has some interesting things on all of this stuff when we talk about this. I looked and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, and it upheld me. He looked, there was none of help. None to help. Nobody's going to do it. You have to do it. Because he was God. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. Now that's in Isaiah 63:5. Now in Isaiah 59, we go to several verses here, 16 through 20. Verse 16 says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Now the interesting thing here is the word intercessor. Now Yahshua, when he came and died on the cross, he became the intercessor for us between God and, you know, our God and our Father and hell. His grace came in, brought down his Son. His Son died on the cross, shed his blood, provided atonement for all men. And whosoever believeth on him, John 3:16, is not going to perish. But see, the word intercessor is interesting. Yahshua, dying on the cross, was our intercessor. But there's also a problem, and we can take America. If America had multitudes of intercessors in prayer and fasting, I believe America today could be delivered. But when God looks down and there's no intercessor that really means what he's praying, judgment comes. But see what he says, you know, the reason there's an issue here is because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the soul that sinneth, it's going to die. And there's only one way for you to get out of this, and that is if God put up an intercessor, somebody to help him, so they could intervene and tell God, well, say, you know, I'm not that bad, God. You know, I don't deserve to go to hell. Why? Well, because I'm a nice guy. That ain't going to work. Yahshua had to come and shed his own blood on that cross and die for us to provide us atonement. You needed an intercessor. That's why when you look at that, he wondered that there was no intercessor, because man isn't good enough to be an intercessor. The Son of God is. And he was. Only he could have done that. And only God the Father could have provided the grace and the mercy which comes out of his love. Because for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. And so Isaiah, as he's looking around and he sees this and he's told this, I looked and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to help, none to uphold. Therefore my own arm, Yahshua, was the arm of the Lord our God. And he, actually, the plans for this was before the foundation of the world. God knew
that man would fall. And there would be only one way to salvation, through his Son, whom he was going to give as an atonement. And so his own arm brought unto him salvation, and he says, and my fury it upheld me. And the fury, now that's kind of interesting. Because when you get in the judgment of God, that's God's judgment. That's his fury. And you can see what happens when God struck Sodom and Gomorrah. But before he struck them, he had given them a chance to repent. But they couldn't even find enough to repent there. So only Lot and his family was, you know, not, and not even all of Lot's family. So, you know, my fury should be enough. Those two words should be enough to get you to understand that upon sin it will be destroyed. God cannot live with sin, neither can man. If you live with sin, you're going to die permanently. There'll be no afterlife. And all these knuckleheads who think they're going to get tied up with all kinds of technological marvels to live forever, that's going to be destroyed in a second as well. So God's arm had to bring him salvation. And Isaiah is explaining all this stuff. We're at the end of the book of Isaiah. Only got a few more chapters. He's already went everything about the judgment. Jeremiah also went through the same thing, warning them. And they weren't the only ones. His arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him, because God is righteous. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and as a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Now see, if you get into Ephesians, you read about the weapons of our warfare. They'll talk about the breastplate of righteousness. The sword of the Spirit. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Read about all the clothing God has given you. These are descriptions. Our weapons of our warfare are in the spirit world. As Christians, you just see the human flesh. You just see us like this. But if you would see us in the spirit, and you get a Christian that's fired up and praying and binding the devil and going out and making warfare, you will see that he will have a breastplate of righteousness. You'll see on him a helmet of salvation. You'll see that he will have a sword of the spirit. Now see, it says here, he put on the garments of vengeance. You and I don't need vengeance. God is our vengeance. He will take care of all that. So these are kind of descriptive. This is out of Isaiah. According to their deeds, according he will repay, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he'll repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now you see, we already have a flood right now, and it's all over the world, a flood of godlessness. Arrogance, pride, Satan worship, occult worship. We have myriads of children, and I mean children, I'm talking about preteens and teens, who are filled with spirits of uncleanness because they were raised without churches. They were raised without men of God around them and women of God. America is lost, wandering in a wilderness of sin, trying to act like America's good. America's not good today. America is sinking fast. And your enemies are finding out a way to destroy this nation. And what do? You make war on the only man that wants to make America great again, and that's Donald Trump and those who support him. And he ain't the only one. There are black pastors and others in this nation, as well as white pastors, to get blunt with you, because the black pastors usually are in the inner city. But pastors, you all need to stand up. This whole nation needs to stand up. Because you ain't going to get anything out of this nation except judgment until somebody wakes up on a massive scale. But you see, the fruits, now see, he talks up here, his fury upheld him. Well, in this case, it shows you what he's going to do and how he was dressed. And in verse 19, it tells you, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. There are going to be those that understand who he is. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Now this is Isaiah, and he is talking directly to Jacob, to the children of Israel. Psalm 98, 1 through 3. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him a victory. Now see, the Old Testament knew very well how God got the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and truth toward the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, if you read the Bible, you will see at that time the ends of the earth knew about the Lord. Most of them. But the ends of the earth hasn't arrived yet. But in the concluding of this, the earth will be made renewed totally, and God's redeemed will have seen the salvation of our God. And Jew and Gentile, male and female, they'll be dressed in the righteousness of God. And that verse will be literally fulfilled at that time when they stand on earth and Zion is established permanently, and God is among his people, our Father and our God and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty. And they will look across the ends of the earth, and there will be no wickedness. There will be no evil. And it will be filled with people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But America, it ain't going to be around. Great Britain, it ain't going to be around. China, it isn't going to be around. Now the world will be made, and I suppose at that time you could just walk around all over this world and find out where, well, this is where China was, and this is where North Korea was, this is where Russia was, this is where London was, this is where Nigeria was, this is where they were all slaughtered, all the Christians among other nations. This is where America was, where God's grace was on it for so long. And this down here is the corridor through which multitudes came up to America to destroy it. But God has redeemed us and given us the victory. Hallelujah. Now see, you can make up your mind what you want. You can make up your mind whether you want to listen to this preacher or not. Now, I wouldn't be preaching and talking about this if I didn't care about your soul. But really, the choice is yours. It's not mine to make. I made my choice. And see, because I made my choice, I hate the deeds of those and what they're doing. I hate the godlessness. I hate the murder. I hate the bloodshed. I hate the proud ways and the proud look. Because the Lord has changed me. I want to see people redeemed. And I want to see them nice. You see, God has touched me to where I like nice things. I don't like nasty things. I don't like to see people killing each other in the streets. I don't like to see a black beating up on a white or a white beating up on a black. You see, y'all have so much racism, you've lifted up certain races over another when God created them all to be equal because he likes variety. He's not a God of just making a certain color a human being. He's a God that makes everything different. Haven't you ever seen all the variety of birds, all the variety of insects, all the variety of everything on this earth? Who made that? Our God. Amen. Because he likes variety. And he loves good things. He loves righteousness. I don't like evil. I don't like all this stuff in America today. I was a kid in America when being a kid actually meant something. Y'all weren't nasty. You knew right and wrong. As a baby, you were in church. That's where you grew up. When you got older, yeah, you messed around. You got in trouble. And you did wickedly. Till God got a hold of your heart one day. Alongside a road out by a desert. And you knelt by that truck. As cars went by. Not knowing why you were kneeling there. What's that fool doing? Doesn't he know he's going to get hit? But there by that tire. Off the side of the road. I found the God. Who knew me as a child. And he called me back. So I don't care where you pray. You can be in the largest pukey dump on earth and pray, God save me, and he will. You can be anywhere in the vile place of California on the streets where you have spit and puke and pee and everything else. And you can bow down and say, God forgive me, help me to get out of here. God will rescue you. I am the Watchman, Dana G. Smith, and my website's warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com have stood for that all these years. But even the websites are not permanent. The words that I write are not permanent. Isaiah's words, yes, he writes it as a word of God, but all the papers, all the things he wrote on animal skins, everything is going to perish. The only thing that's going to stay is the word of God, because written in the pages of heaven is the very word that you hate, the very word that you would burn a Bible. And you Muslims know that's the truth. You have a zeal for God, but you don't have the knowledge of God. It's time for you to repent, because if you follow the dark one and follow killing, you will wind up in a place you won't believe. And Biden and the White House and all their laws, yeah, they can uphold the laws. They can put the J6ers into prison for the rest of their life for nothing that they've done. But one day, every little wickedness and every bit of false judgment is going to be uncovered, and this God will hold Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, and every other political person that's ever been born on this planet, and he will hold them to the T. He will point down and he will know every sin, except for those who have repented and truly knew him and came to know him. in verse 6 of this. And I will tread down the people in my anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I'll bring down their strength to the earth. Kylan DeLeese says this, the work of wrath had been executed by Jehovah because he had in his heart a day of vengeance which could not be delayed, and because the year of his promised redemption had arrived. Now see, I speak to you in tones of the judgment at the end of time. But remember that the children of Israel were redeemed. And Isaiah prophesied that Judah was redeemed out of Babylon. This also speaks of future redemption. See, today, we do have a hope. Hope against hope. Hope about this judgment and hope of being delivered. Now, the one thing I find interesting about Kyle and DeLeese, and they're theologians, the meaning is, you know, there was no one that would come alongside to help him. No one joined him to render help to the God of judgment and salvation. No man could, really. And looking to the church, he says that the church was devoted to him, was itself the object of the redemption, and the great mass of those who were estranged from him, the object of the judgment. How could he ask the church to help him when they were vile? The house of Judah and the temple was totally corrupted. The prophets were liars. Read Jeremiah. How can you find a church in America when some of these churches are doing things that are a blasphemy before God? And if you're an intercessor, then be intercessing. Malachi puts in what he says about this. Malachi chapter 1, 2 through 5. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom says, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see it, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. See, Edom turned on their brother Judah and joined Babylon in judgment. Then Edom was destroyed. But Edom in pride says, instead of repenting, we're going to rebuild. Matter of fact, Jonathan Cahn had something about rebuilding. You remember that tower?
I do.
And he hated Esau. But he loved Jacob because of their fruits. Psalm 2. Yeah, I'll get through this.
What was the chapters in Malachi?
In Malachi chapter 1.
Okay, 1 through 5.
2 through 5. Yeah, you can go 1, 2. Malachi has a lot of good stuff in it. Psalm 2, 12 verses. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords for us. Now that's from us. That's exactly what they're doing today. Casting away the cords is taking away all those things that God has put in his book. You know, and we see it today, all the laws, all the ordinances, the things that God has created. He created man and women, but we've cast those aside. See, this is what we're doing today. And this is more true today than at any other time. So they're going to cast away everything. God made male and female, and all of a sudden they come up with all this other stuff, and then they mock God and mock those who believe in a male and a female. And that's just the little tip of the tentacle, what the world is doing today. And so it says in response, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." They're going to be in derision and confusion. They're not going to get away. They're not going to escape. "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." Why? Because they wouldn't listen. They changed the ordinances. You know? You know, the men wearing dresses, they got makeup, they're the girls are boys, the boys are girls, and that's just, you know, that ain't all of it. That's just a part of it. We've got people that are totally taken over by unclean spirits, and you can see it. Verse 6, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." That is Yahshua. This is a prophecy of Yahshua. Now listen. "I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son." That's Yahshua. "The only begotten son of God. This day have I begotten thee." And he says to his son, "Ask of me, and I will give thee the inheritance, the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." In other words, that is there talking about the Son of God, giving him this inheritance and giving him the right. That's why he is the Almighty in Revelation 1, because he's the one that's coming back. "Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." So you have the Son here. You have what God has given him. It tells you to be wise, to serve the Lord, and to kiss the Son. Why? Lest he be angry. How do you kiss him? You receive him. Ask him for forgiveness and follow him. In Revelation 18, 3 through 6, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." This is Mystery Babylon. "And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." You can read this right now and see what it is. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double." Now that will be the end of the rebellion. Father, thank you for this word. Bless this word to those that hear it whenever they do. Bless it to their spirits, their souls, and their minds, Lord. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness, from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now we have probably about 5 minutes, so we do have time.
Well, all I can say is, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
I know.
I hate all the wickedness going on and the corruption of our children. I seen today where Disney wants to put a new movie out about having a relationship with Satan.
Yeah.
And glamorizing it. It's just totally wicked.
Yeah, well, they ain't going to be so glamorous when it comes down to the nitty-gritty.
No.
Yeah. Tower likes nice things, too.
Yeah.
She don't like all this going on. And if you're a true Christian, you ain't going to like it all either. And you know very well these kids are lost. You know very well they need to be redeemed. But you go into some of these cities, unless you're truly anointed, been fasting, praying, you ain't going to get out. It's just the way it is. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here. We always enjoy that, knowing that you're here with us, that you're looking for the return of the Lord, you're following Him. And may He richly bless you. May the Lord God richly bless you and make His face shine upon you for all you do for Him. We truly love you and always hope the best. And look up, for your redemption draws nigh. He is our hope. And please pray for your brethren around the world. Pray for us, and we pray for you. Have a good night, everybody. Good night.
Don't forget to go by our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And I also ask you to check out my book, The Rising. And we have some other books in our bookstore. Check them out. And I urge you to buy a copy of The Rising and read it. Because that actually has some things in it I wrote long before the stuff that came to what we face in America. And it does have some prophetic stuff in it, and I think you'll like the book. It's a Christian fiction thriller called The Rising. I have another one called Steal the Darkness. When the darkness and the sins of man are such that those who do such things are trying to steal it, or to make it hard, you know, like steal. They're not trying to take it, they're trying to steal it, make it hard, impenetrable, so the righteous or nobody can break through it. And that's exactly what the Democrats are trying to do today, among others. They're not the only ones. And don't forget to check out our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Read the shows. Listen to the articles. Get up in the nav bar up there. I have lots of stuff to listen to. Lots of stuff. Series like you wouldn't believe. Pure Word of God. Check it out. Now, if you have any questions or anything, you can go to our websites and send us a contact through the contact page. Until next time, be safe, my friends. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. May His countenance shine down upon you and direct your paths. And may you be safe and be found in Christ, Yahshua, Jesus our Lord, to the glory of the Father. Until next time. And we're coming down to the end of Isaiah. But until next time, be safe. Take care of you and your family. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.